You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
I'm going to go right to the big news.
A big win for Mitt Romney in Florida.
A giant victory in a mega state.
I'm not concerned about the very poor. We have a safety net there.
Planned Parenthood is deeply upset. Komen says it's not a question of them judging that Planned Parenthood.
We implemented new granting strategies and criteria that some mischaracterized.
All right, those are some of the voices from the news this week, but obviously the news headlines don't catch your every single important story. So joining you now, we have our super panel of social, political, pop culture experts to tell us about the stories you may have missed and the ones you want to watch for in the future. Ron Christie with us, Republican political strategist, political contributor for The Takeaway, and our co-producer, WNYC's political website, itsafreecountry.org. Also Farai Today, a journalist and blogger at farai.com, and Jeff Yang, who writes the Dow Jones column for The Wall Street Journal and blogs also for itsafreecountry.org. Happy Friday to all three of you.
Good Friday.
Thank you.
Happy Friday.
You know, I want to start with the discussion that's suddenly become a firestorm, which is over Susan G. Komen Foundation and their decision to cut funding for Planned Parenthood. You know, we don't have to debate here, although you can if you want to, the wisdom of that decision. But, you know, Farai, this does seem to further demonstrate the power of social media, how quickly something can become a resolution or from 26 Democratic senators because of online outrage.
Yes, this is definitely something that has been going viral on social media. And I mean, it's not, you know, as you point out, it's not just something that people are talking about on Twitter. It's something that has resulted in government officials taking notice. And I think the most interesting one is that Mayor Bloomberg, New York's Mayor Bloomberg, is going to do a dollar for dollar match up to $250,000 for Planned Parenthood. That if that's putting your money where your mouth is.
And since we're on the Follow Friday segment, I should mention that there's a lot of people now FFing the mayor of New York. Jeff, the internet becomes a power player in the debate over women's health.
Yeah, and you know, it's not just women's health. I mean, I think what we've seen is that the internet as a place for essentially direct activism has just sort of blown up. I mean, just recently we saw the protests over SOPA and PIPA essentially transforming the internet as people pushed back against, you know, this notion of you know, censorship and other kinds of digital restrictions. And here we are now, something that has gone from essentially being, you know, probably before the internet, obscure into something which overnight has just burdened into what's on everybody's lips. So it's pretty fantastic.
Oh, yeah, it's moved off the internet definitely into people's conversations. And Ron, this is the same that's happened with Mitt Romney's comments on CNN after his win in Florida. I mean, the internet's going crazy over his comment that he's not concerned about the very poor or the very rich.
And again, agree or disagree on the substance of it, I think what we've all heard in this segment is the fact that social media and the internet really have transformed the way that not only that politics is practiced in the United States, but also in the way in which people from around the country and around the world communicate with each other. Having spent nearly 20 years in politics, both on Capitol Hill and the White House, I can't imagine what it must be like now having the power of social media really influencing not only constituents but also the decisions that our policymakers have to make. So this has been a very interesting week, not only for Governor Romney being hit with this, but also with the Planned Parenthood / Race for the Cure dust-up.
And I wonder, Ron, do you think that was a political gaffe that suddenly went viral? Was that a glimpse of presidential policy or just a gaffe?
I think it was just a gaffe. I mean, I was actually discussing this yesterday on television, and I said, this shows you what happens of a candidate who's tired, a candidate who has, you know, been on the campaign trail. They make one mistake of something that they know that they shouldn't have said, and then all of a sudden, everything they've done previously that week, it's just erased and it's dominated by that gaffe. And I think Romney is going to be paying for this for quite some time.
Farai, Jeff, you agree?
Well, I mean, if you're talking about papering over everything he said in the past, that includes making a $10,000 wager, which is more than some people in poverty make in a year. There's a lot of different – it's not as if this is completely out of character. It's not like Mother Teresa is wearing a mini skirt. I mean, forgive the analogy, but I think that Mitt Romney is unfortunately – beginning to show signs of a character that show a complete disconnect. I mean, you know, the thing is, for example, there are a lot of people who are not poor, but who, for example, are sole proprietors of their own businesses who are paying as much for health care as they are for rent. And one of the other things, which I did write about on my blog, is that he had this weird way of saying, okay, I'm not worried about the poor people, but I'm worried about the 90 to 95% of people who are struggling. So if you think that poor people statistically are about 15% of the population and 90 to 95% of people are struggling, first of all, the math doesn't add up. And it also really makes light of the fact that someone who can't buy a second car is not in the same straits as someone who can't feed their family, like some of the people you've already had on the Takeaway Today.
All right, so go ahead, Jeff.
You know, I have to kind of agree, because the bigger issue here isn't that it was a flub, but rather that it sort of fit a particular narrative that has emerged around Romney, and it is in line with some of the things he said before, not just the $10,000 bet, you know, but also his reference to himself as being unemployed, his talking about, you know, kind of middle class is essentially being set at a bar way beyond what many of us could even imagine. And, you know, things like his speaking fees. Oh, I didn't make very much, and that not very much ended up being almost $500,000. So, you know, we're definitely in a place now where any time Romney makes a reference that suggests that he is what he looks like, a patriarchal, you know, being from almost another planet made of money, it's going to become more than just a flub. It's part of this cluster of ideas that are replacing whatever else he might possibly stand in for in the American imagination.
You know, think what you will, Ron. Christy, this is a problem for Mitt Romney, especially going over the Nevada caucus tomorrow. He will probably win. I assume you're predicting that. But what has shown us in terms of turnout is in the places where Mitt Romney has won decisively, well, that would be one place, Florida, turnout was way down. I mean, is that an enthusiasm gap there?
I think there is to a certain extent. I think the Republicans are still trying to get their arms around their eventual candidate. Romney is likely to win. The latest policy poll that I saw out, he's up 50% to the speaker's 25%. So I think he's going to win decisively tomorrow. The one thing I would say about knowing Governor Romney and having been friends with him for several years is there's no question of his empathy and his concern for folks. And it just shows you that sometimes politicians can't translate what they're actually thinking and what they're feeling into a coherent narrative.
Well, what do you think he was thinking?
Well, I am
not concerned for the very poor. How does that come out of your mouth?
Hey, John, I am entirely with you. I think that is an idiotic comment to make, both as a politician and one who is actually seeking to get people to vote for him.
And one who's planning to be the president of all Americans.
He wants to win, right?
And this is what's been driving me crazy, and I've been saying to the campaign, you are running to represent all Americans. We don't have a class system here in America, and to say, oh, well, I'm not worried about the poor and I'm not worried about the rich. You need to worry about all of your constituents. And I think the message has been received, and I hope that they've gotten that. But it was an idiotic comment.
All right. So let's move on just a little. Let's do a little rapid fire. You guys up for that?
Totally.
Sure.
Okay, so I want each of you to give me the name of somebody whose endorsement carries less weight than Donald Trump. Farai?
Ronald McDonald.
Jeff?
The Susan G. Komen Foundation.
Oh, and Ron Christie.
Kim Kardashian.
Okay.
That's an easy, low-hanging fruit.
Exactly.
It's a big one. Okay, we already heard Ron say who he thinks is going to win Nevada. Farai and Jeff, Nevada's winner?
Yeah,
I
have to go with Romney.
Okay, then the other candidate most likely to make it all the way to the convention, Ron?
Ron Paul. He's got the money, and he has no indication that he wants to get out of this.
Jeff?
I've got to agree. Paul's not in it just to win. He's in it to say something.
And Farai?
I think both Paul and Gingrich will stick with it because when you talk about speaker's fees, Newt Gingrich is, you know, he's ratcheting it up right now, so...
Yeah.
That's incentive enough.
All right, last question for you. Who will win the Super Bowl? Jeff.
Giants.
Farai?
Gotta be there.
I'm football illiterate. I'm sorry.
Oh, she says the advertisers. And Ron Christie?
The Patriots by three.
Jeff, that's Ron Christie, takeaway contributor and Republican political strategist and contributor at itsafreecountry.org, where Jeff Yang also blogs for WNYC, our co-producer. And Jeff Yang writes the Dow Jones column for The Wall Street Journal, and Farai Today, a journalist and blogger at Farai.com. Happy Friday, guys.
Take care, guys.
Thank you.
Happy Friday.
Hey, Farai, where do you store Mother Teresa in a miniskirt in your brain?
Oh, you know, it's a vast territory, John.
It
vast,
certainly vast territory. Is. It certainly is. And we're grateful to have it at our disposal. Thanks. Have a great weekend. We asked for your stories on the social safety net. Here are a couple more. Catherine from Michigan posted this to our Facebook page. I was an unemployed mother of twin three-year-olds, lost my job to downsizing, and after depleting my savings, I applied to the state for cash assistance. The idea that I could possibly survive on what they offered was and is ridiculous. Our heat was shut off that January. It was only a patient landlord and my previous year's tax return that saved us from eviction. We want to hear your stories of the safety net. Call us at 877-8MY-TAKE or post to thetakeaway.org. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.